I feel something on my heart. I mentioned it to Brother Rutledge today at lunch, and all through the service, it has just seemingly kept pressing upon my spirit, and I just want to share it with you real briefly. It's an old familiar, if I could use the term, and I don't mean to use that loosely, familiar text to us, but sometimes things just pass us by. Sort of like we think of a funeral as being a terrible drudge. In some cases, that's true. But the Bible said, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Now, if a child of God that is ready to meet God and they pass from this walk of life, how can anything that is precious to God be ugly to us? You see how different we see things in the Lord, but sometimes things just don't register. But that got a hold of me a while back, and when we have memorial services for born-again children of God that I feel like died and kept the faith, I look at it altogether different than I used to. I really do, because I feel like that we're sharing something that is really precious in the sight of the Lord. And it done something to me. So I want to share another verse of Scripture. And I'd like to particularly maybe address the young people and everybody else too, really. But Proverbs 29:1. He that being often, everybody say often. Now I think that's a real significant word in this text of Scripture. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Without any, you know what it means, have remedy for something. A lot of them have old remedy, home remedies for all sorts of things. But if the Lord has set you as a mark, if God be for us, who can be against us? But just turn it around. If God be against us, who's going to be for us? If he set us as a mark, and if he has set us as a mark, then who are we going to get to give us a prescription or a remedy for the problem? That's the reason he said in Psalm the 50th chapter, verse 22, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Amen. No remedy. Absolutely no remedy. He that being often reproved. There's something about being in the position to be constantly reproved about something. All right. There are some folks that you have to just constantly stay on them about certain things. And they get better for a while, and then all of a sudden they're back in the same old drudge again. He that being often reproved, you don't get softer when you're constantly having to be reproved. You take the average child that you constantly have to beat on. They very seldom ever really get to a place to where they're responsive and obedient. But they grow up with bitterness in their heart. They grow up hating authority. They grow up resisting anything that tries to tell them and instruct them. He that hateth instruction, Solomon taught against this in all of his writings, against hating instruction. But we ought to love instruction and love wisdom. And I just couldn't help but think about that. He that being often reproved, harness his neck. You know what it means to practice things. You know, well, I have certain traits of my way of that I make a living, and it didn't come easy. There are some things that it took constant work and driving and working at and drilling and all of that to ever reach a place to where I could do it proficiently enough so it would make me a living. Brother Joe Jackson, in tracing out the schematics on radios and things, it didn't just start. He didn't just start standing through there and just could run them out. But practice, 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 and the more he did it, the easier it became. You know what a little story that the devil will sit around in a service and tell you? When the preacher preaches something that you need to do, some correction that you need to make, or just the fact that you need God, the fact that you need to repent, the fact that you need to be buried in water in the name of Jesus, you need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. The easiest thing in the world for you to do sometimes is to sit and listen to a spirit that tells you it'll be easier later on. But the more you have to be warned and reproved about that, the harder it'll be for you to do it. It does not become easier. He makes it harder by making you think that it'll be easier. He that being often reproved. These marksmen, I saw a man that was a demonstrator of the Winchester gun. And there's no telling how many hours he spent in drilling sessions. But I saw him take a bolt-action rifle, 22 rifle, and that throwed the shell out over the barrel. And I saw him fire the gun, throw the shell out over the barrel, and turn the gun up and shoot the empty cartridge. He was that good. He was that fast. He was demonstrating Winchester firearms, and no telling how much money he was getting paid. But he had earned it by the hours he spent practicing and putting in the time doing it over and over and over and over again. I teasingly told somebody that I went to work for. They said, can you do so-and-so? I said, well, practice makes perfect, and I believe I can make a perfect mess out of that. And but really, practice does increase your proficiency in a thing. Practice does increase your proficiency in it. It doesn't matter whatever area you work in. Some fellows run machines, and you could just about blindfold them, and they could still punch the buttons. You know why? Because they've done it. You watch Sister Brenda sometime playing the piano. She's not watching the key. She may be worshiping the Lord or watching the congregation or trying to keep up with one of her children that's got up off the seat, and she's worried about praying what they're going to do. You know what I'm talking about? But she's hit those keys enough until it just becomes, it's a part of her. It's a part of the mechanics and her makeup. The music is in her, and it's in her system, and she's hit them so much until it's just as a natural thing in the world for her to reach over and hit the chord G. You could say, give me A flat. She could hit A flat probably without looking at the keyboard. You know why? Because she's done it enough until it becomes easier. Now, the more she done it, it didn't make it harder.
That's right.
See? But it became easier. I'm simply saying that the more you reject the preaching of the Word of God, the more you reject the message. It doesn't matter if it's instruction to the saint. You young people that have been filled with the Holy Ghost, if it's instruction for you to work on something, don't think that it's going to become easier for you to surrender that thing later on down the line. The more you practice resisting the instructions against that, the harder it's going to be for you to cut loose from it. I can tell you a lot of these things by experience. I know what I'm talking about. It does not become easy, but it becomes easier by you practicing hardening yourself. Well, I'll just turn it off. Because you know more now. And you come to church. Some people come to church. And they come to church with a made-up mind. They're not going to let the thing get to them tonight now. I'm going to go to church, but now I'm not ready to pray, and I'm just not going to let that preacher get to me. You know what they're doing? They're putting themselves in a position to be often reproved. And being often reproved, Solomon said, you'll harden yourself. And the final outcome will be that you'll be suddenly destroyed and there'll be no remedy to pull you out of trouble.
Oh, God.
Hallelujah. 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 What are you saying? I'm saying there's a remedy now. There's a remedy through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's a remedy through water baptism in the name of Jesus. There's a remedy through repentance. There's a remedy through dying out to the things of the world. Take advantage of it. What will do you some good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you know that they say a lot of cancer cases could be brought under control if they've got to them in time? Deadly as it is, they say they could detour a lot of it if they could just get to it in time. Something rested on me, the Bible said. And Peter, beginning to sink, cried, saying, Lord, save me. He didn't wait until he went down two or three times and was bubbling for the last go around. But beginning to sink, when you see yourself sinking and when you feel yourself getting hard to the Word of God, I'm glad. I'm glad that I can't sit in a service and not be touched by a good Holy Ghost song. I'm glad that I can sit in a service and just be touched by the simple preaching of the Word of God. And you better treasure that. If God can touch you and His Spirit will mellow your spirit. I sat and listened to Brother Hanby's sermons and other preacher's sermons. And I sat and just boohooed. And I know that a lot of people wouldn't understand that. But I'm glad that God don't let me get hard. Because if I get hard in my spirit, then I am laying myself liable to be destroyed and cut off with no remedy. Hallelujah. And the only remedy that I've got is the thing that I have listened to on that tape or listened to from the pulpit. That's the remedy for my problem. It's the remedy for my problem. I don't feel like that the preacher's out to get me if he preaches to me. I feel like that he's there to give me the remedy for what I need. I don't feel like he's out to get me and shoot me. Hallelujah. It doesn't worry me if the preacher preaches something that I need to do. Well, preach it to me. Just tell me what I need to do. Give me the remedy. I don't want to be lost. I've got a wife that I don't want to see lost. I've got a 12-year-old daughter that I don't want to see lost. And if I allow my spirit to get hard. Hallelujah. 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 He that deal off and reprove. I'm going to tell you something else. Don't practice coming and praying at this altar and then just getting up and walking out casual like they've always been other times.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, did you hear me?
That's right.
I want to talk to you. I can,
is this all right?
It's all right. You fellas that are seeking God, you need to get desperate with God. You need to get desperate with God. You need to pray tonight like this is your last time to pray. Hallelujah. Don't let the devil tell you it'll be easier for you to pray next Sunday night. Every time you get up and walk out without really touching God, it'll be easier to do that the next time. He that being often reproved, you practice that. You drill yourself in getting hard. You drill yourself in sitting there and not being moved by the preacher. You drill yourself. You practice not letting the songs get to you. I've seen people pick up books and thumb through them just to keep the preacher. They know if they listen to the preacher, he's going to get to them and their heart's going to be cut and they're not ready to surrender yet. And they'll sit there and play with the baby. I've seen them get the baby and get up and walk out. You know why? They're practicing turning away the Spirit of God. He that being often reproved. If you've been running around on the streets at night and the preacher's had to mention that several times, don't let him have to ever mention that anymore for your benefit. He that being often reproved, if you're reproved of that over and over and over and over again, you're letting yourself liable to get hard. Pretty soon you'll resent the preacher saying anything about it. Pretty soon you'll resent mom and daddy saying anything about it. Pretty soon you'll think that what you do is your business. And pretty soon you're hard and you don't care what anybody says. And first thing you know, you're in trouble with God and there's no remedy. We're giving you the remedy for what the trouble is right now. Hallelujah. The remedy is let your spirit be broken by the preaching of the Word of God. Let your spirit be torn apart. Let it be wide open. Let your soul be mad before God and men. And let the preaching of the Word sow the Word of eternal life in your heart. That's your only hope out of this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's worship God. Hallelujah. 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 I'm talking about things that are just without remedy. It's a terrible thing when a man or a woman finds out that their child has an incurable disease. Huh? No cure. No cure. What is some of the things that they're still looking for cure for? Cancer is one thing. Suppose that's
muscular dystrophy
and all sorts of things that they just don't have a cure for. They don't know what caused it, and they don't have a cure for it. It's a frightful thing when you wake up someday and you, a member of your family, the fellow I just went to work for, his daughter was carried to the hospital with a broken arm, and through the process of running blood tests, they said, sir, I'm sorry to inform you, but your daughter has leukemia. Cancer in the bloodstream. What can you do? I said, we're not sure we can do anything. And that man came out on the job the next day with his chin on his shoe top. He felt like his back was against the wall. I'm trying to tell you how you're going to feel when one of these days and the devil's open up all his artillery guns on you and your back is against the wall and you have rejected the call of God, you rejected the word of God, you resented instruction from the preacher, you resented instruction from mom and dad, you resented the saints trying to encourage you, you resented anybody trying to reach you to get you to pray more desperately and get a hold of God, and now here you are with no remedy. No remedy to bring you out. No way to get you out of trouble. The Lord said, consider this. Ye that forget God. You may forget your own name, but don't you forget God. You say, well, can that be? Yes, sir. My mother lay in the hospital. She couldn't even told you her own name. She didn't even know my name. She's just talking crazy, saying all kind of crazy things. But she had the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. She had the Holy Ghost. She didn't know my name. She didn't know a child she had that walked in the room. She didn't recognize one of them. We asked her her name and she gave some crazy name of somebody else. She didn't even know her own name. But you could say, praise the Lord, Mama. And her hands are going there and she began to worship God and speaking out of tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You talk about the book of James. You could get to talking about the word of God and you could start off. My brother walked up beside the bed and she would just talk crazy. Couldn't get any sense out of her. But he started saying, the Lord is my shepherd. Mama said, I shall not walk. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what it was? Because way down the line somewhere, she heard the remedy for her situation. And when she got to a place where she forgot everything else and could call a sensible thing to mind, there was the Spirit of Almighty God that was alive in her, ready to take her out of this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Won't do any good to call the preacher then. There be none to deliver, he said. Call the church. I want to pray. How many times people pass by? Well, when I start church, right there is where I want to go. That's where I want to go. Oh, I just thank the world, Brother Rutledge, in the church. You better get to thinking a whole lot more of God. You better get to thinking more about the blessings of Almighty God. Thinking well of the church, that's all good. Thinking well of the preacher, that's all good. But you need to appreciate the message that this church is a lighthouse for. Hallelujah. Because this church is a lighthouse and it's giving out beacons of remedies for the sins of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, if you please. Hallelujah. The message that this church stands for is the remedy for the neuro disease. It's the remedy for the alcoholic. It's the remedy for the drug addict on Cherry Street. I'm telling you that we've got the remedy. Hallelujah. But people have practiced hard in their heart. When the apostolic church crashes the answer broadcast comes on, you think, well, you just can't imagine anybody not wanting to hear it. I can't. But you'd be surprised that people reach off over and just turn off the radio.
That's right.
You know why? Because they know they're going to get plowed under. They know that old gospel plow's going to get down there and dig up one of them old earthworms. They know that gospel plow's going to hit a stump for too long. And they know that it's going to plow them under. That's the reason a lot of people, they love Brother Rutledge. And they love this church. But you know why they don't come to church here? It's because they know that when the preacher gets behind the pulpit and starts preaching, he's going to plow them under. He's going to break up some fallow ground. That's what's going to happen. And they're not ready to surrender. So they sit there time and time and time again. They know it's there. And they know that's the remedy. But somehow the devil says, just a little while later, you've got plenty of time. He don't believe that himself. Don't let him tell you on something he don't believe himself. You hear me tonight? Don't let the devil tell you, young people, you've got plenty of time. He don't believe that. The Bible said in Revelation, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down unto you, knowing that he hath but a short time. Now, if he knows he's got a short time, why do you let him sell you on the fact that you've got plenty of time? Do you understand? He that being often reproved. There's something wrong if a young man or young woman has to be constantly prodded about going and dating sinner boys and girls. They've lost the vision, the scope of things somewhere. Now, I can understand being corrected about it. But when there's a constant reproof, time and time again, son, I told you now. I remember my dad used to tell us things. He'd say, if you do that again, I'm going to whip you. We'd do it again. So we found out we had about 5 or 9 warnings before Dad really come across. But the sad thing of it is, we didn't know just exactly what time he was going to say, that's enough. One time he may tell us 3 times, next time it may be 6 or 8. But we just used to keep pressing our luck until finally he didn't say anything. He called us in, and he had a big old belt in his hand, and he had that thing wrapped around his hand, and it was too tough to go then. He didn't whip us much, but when he whipped us, it looked like he tried to make up for lost time. You know what I'm talking about? Now look, God's been real good to us. He's let some of us, I say some of us in our lifetime, sail along in disobedience, and he blessed us, and he allowed us to prosper even sometimes. Do you understand what I'm saying? You say, oh, no, yes, he will. The 21st verse of the 50th chapter. I quoted you the 22nd verse where he said, consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear your pieces. The verse before that says, these things hast thou done, and I kept silent. And you thought that I was altogether such a one as thyself. But I have set them in order before my eyes, and I will reprove thee, saith the Lord. Now, you know what he said, if I could be allowed to paraphrase? I said and watched you do this, and because I have not just absolutely stopped you, you've got to thinking that I set my approval on it. That's what he's saying. But he hasn't set his approval on it. He's never. He may let you get by a while, and he may let it slide in his mercy. Who can know the mercy of God and the long suffering of God? But nation day is ahead. It's bad to get involved. Let the word of God tend to your heart. Sir, don't ever practice hardening yourself. Don't ever come to church programming yourself to not let the preacher get you. Don't ever program yourself not to let the choir get you. Don't ever program yourself not to let an altar service get to you. You know what you need to do? You need to say, I'm putting all my antennas up. I'm going to feel after the spiritual things of God. I need a remedy. I got a problem. I've got poison in my spiritual system, and I need an antidote for it. I can tell you the antidote. It's the same thing for everything. The preaching of the word of God, repentance, water baptism, and a born again experience in Christ Jesus the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the remedy. You say, well, preacher, you don't know what my problem is. I don't have to know the problem. The remedy is the same. Amen. Huh? Amen. You ever seen these little parts that they make? And they say they're universal. Mm-hmm. You know, they got knockout plugs and just make them fit anywhere.
Yes.
Huh? Years ago, they sold Cadillac parts. You know, of course, when you say Cadillac, they just jack the price up about 3 times. But they tell me, if you knew what you was doing, you could buy a Chevrolet generator for about 1/4 the price. And it had a little old knockout where you could knock it out, and the bolt would go through, and the generator would sit a Cadillac. Same generator. Universal. The remedy of God is universal. It doesn't matter what creed you are. It don't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what area of sin that you've played around in. The remedy is the same. It doesn't matter what poisons your system. The remedy is the same. Repentance, just coming clean, just getting honest and sincere with God, and washing out and coming clean, and the remedy is the same. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. All sin. That's about all you can do. That's about as much as you can do. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin. Didn't I tell you it's a remedy? Same remedy for everything. All sin is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not just the particular message that cleanses you, but it's the message that stirs you up to bring you to Calvary that causes the blood of Jesus Christ to touch your soul and make you clean. Hallelujah. You say, I've had people tell me, but preacher, I've done this. It doesn't matter. The remedy is the same. Repentance. Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso shall confess them and forsake them shall have mercy. There's a remedy for you tonight. There's a remedy for you tonight. There's a remedy for your problem. There's a remedy for your situation. There's a remedy for that hardness that will get a hold of your heart and build a case around you where pretty soon you won't be touched by the things of God anymore. But right now, while there is a remedy and something can be done, let it be done. Let it be done. Don't practice. The more you practice rejecting God, the more proficient that you'll be. And pretty soon, a time when just a simple choir song would have just broke your spirit up, you can sit through a Holy Ghost anointed sermon and just not feel it. I've seen folks do it. I've seen folks that used to be broken up and then weak during a service. But I've seen them same folks that in a much more powerful service just absolutely untouched. You know why? They practiced hardening themselves and turning away the Spirit of God. They practiced doing it. He that being often reproved. I didn't intend to take up this much time, but this has been burning in my spirit all afternoon. And since the service began, please, let me warn you one more time. Let the Word of God make your heart tender. Don't let problems that come your way, don't let them make you hard. Somebody does you wrong, don't let them affect you so that you become hard. Don't do it. Because it'll make it easy for you to turn away the things of God. And when you can turn away compassion out of your heart, pretty soon you can turn away the tender mercy of God. And you just can't afford to do that. That's your only remedy out of here. The only remedy is the blood of Jesus Christ. While the preacher's preaching, just surrender and love God. But yet, some are still set there and haven't surrendered. That tells me something. That tells me that you're still not doing what you've often been reproved about. You see? See what I'm talking about? You shouldn't have to be begged to come and pray. You shouldn't have to be sorry. You shouldn't be set back and waiting for somebody else to make the initial start. You ought to be the one to want to be the leader. Let me be the first one in the water. Let me be the first one to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Let me be the first one to receive victory in my heart tonight. I want the remedy. I don't care. I want the remedy.